As a result, we now can detect such small numbers of electrons that we are able to see and hear things that in the past would have been utterly imperceptible. And we can use our control over those electrons, our understanding of how to make them teleport forward or seemingly halt, to bring their immense powers of speed and agility into our world. The door behind which the ancient electrical force existed has been opened one notch wider. This is Turing's legacy. Consider the way GPS navigation works. Hundreds of miles above our heads, electrons are being led back and forth within the transmitters of GPS satellites. The shimmering force field that stretches from those electrons starts to wobble each time the electrons move, and that faint wobble continues, free-floating, all the way down to us on Earth. It's a GPS location signal being sent on its way. The wave that reaches the ground is invisible and inaudible to us. No one could peer at the orbiting satellites and see this wave coming. No one could cock his head and hear it. Our eardrum is composed of atoms that have an immense number of electrons around them. The invisible rolling wave from a GPS satellite would be lost in all their jostling and shuddering. Even if the wave hit an old-fashioned TV antenna, it would have little effect. Those metal rods, as placed on 1950s rooftops, still need a lot of electrons, perhaps several trillion, to be wobbled forward in unison if there's going to be a noticeable response. That's better than our ears can do, but still involves more electrons than a satellite wave can produce. Yet when that faint wobbling from space reaches our GPS receiver, something different happens. Something made possible by the Bell engineers who showed how to access and control the quantum world. The incoming wave, feeble as it is, nudges forward a very small number of electrons, but those few electrons are guided to one of the special ore veins. The silicon they touch transforms. It's no longer a pure tentacle, disapproving, don't even think of letting anything get across me substance. Instead, its own electrons spring forth, stimulated by the tiny flicker of incoming electric current. Its inner cavities are no longer gloomy and blocked, but switch on and easily transmit a clear signal. The distant satellite has been heard. Almost instantly, the incoming ripple from space dies down. The ore vein inside the receiver shuts off. But then, a billionth of a second later, another ripple that's been floating down from the satellite arrives. The ore vein sparks into action again. After a mere few hundred billion repetitions or so, the distinctive identifying signal for that satellite is received. A wavering bipedal human is likely to be scanning this GPS device to hear a satellite hundreds of miles up in space, and so navigate her way to a new office building. She can then go on to use other devices for a web search to examine, ever so easily, a few billion information sources scattered in silicon and metal memories within millions of computers worldwide. This too would have been inconceivable in earlier times, for even though there was a system of storing great amounts of information, the world's great libraries, it took trained archivists months to go through even one small part of those records. Web searchers are many times faster. Hit a key on a laptop or handheld browser, and long stretching tunnels of electrons in wires underneath our keyboards are ready to begin the hunt. Our fast finger pecks are ungainly, ponderously slow thumps to them, so there's plenty of time. Every key on an ordinary laptop is sampled dozens of times each second, with electrons constantly reporting no hit, no hit to the computer's central processor, until, wondrously, one of the keys does slowly lower itself as we type. Great numbers of transistors in our computer and connected ones quickly reconfigure themselves to allow the desired request for web information to pass, their ore veins instantly transforming into efficient conduits, then back into inert barriers once the request has gone through. Millions of web pages begin to be scanned, some as summary indexes coded within a search engine's central computers, others at far-flung machines located all across the globe. Soon the request is making force fields shift the ancient yet powerfully charged electrons back and forth in thousands and then millions of pages, as the desired phrases being hunted for are compared with what's in storage. Decisions are made and funneled through more transistor rocks till finally the results start pouring back into our computers. The emissaries are reporting, and a final set of signals is led to our screens. From their bizarre quantum flights, the answer we sought now glows into life. It can all take place in the time we reach a hand toward a waiting cup of coffee. For centuries, humans lived separated from the fluorine, fast inner world of electrons, but we no longer do.